Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We have some visitors here, and we're glad you're here. I don't know how long we've known each other, both of you, Elise, but we've known you for a while, haven't we? Known each other. You probably know longer than I do, but he's been here before, and we're glad to have him. Glad to have her this time. First time she's been here, I think, since we've been here. I'm glad to have them visiting with us today. Good to see all of you. As a matter of fact, we have some young men back there. We're glad that you're here also. Good to have the visitors, good to have the members. It's always good to have a good start for a new year, and this is 2020, and we're actually starting a brand new... This is our first Sunday, isn't it? Are you excited about a new year? I guess as we get a little bit older, we're not quite as excited each year because we're getting older. But there ought to be some excitement in it because it means in a spiritual realm, at least, that we can serve the Lord and we can do things that we... maybe not we're not able to do last year, and things that we can accomplish this year, and we look forward to those kind of things. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about Christians in 2020 and what they can have, and what they can have are some wonderful, wonderful things. We're going to talk about the wonderful things we can have in 2020 as children of God. And as we talk about this, I want you to think about something. If you've not already obeyed the God, if you're not already a Christian, these are things you can have too. The only thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ in humble obedience. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He will do that, but you have to do that. You have to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. So to come to Jesus, you take his yoke. You decide that you're going to serve him. You're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And you do that by just simply doing the things that he tells you to do. For instance, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that's what will happen if you do in the year 2020. And Christians then will have some wonderful things this year in the year 2020. Well, what are they? Well, I suppose if I were to ask you what wonderful things we could have in 2020, you might come up with some different thoughts than I have. There are a lot of thoughts we could have, but I've just picked out about three of them. What I suggest to you is 2020, we can have a wonderful possession, and that is everlasting life. I want you to think about that. We talk about a lot of things lasting for a period of time. We buy a car, we hope it lasts for a period of time. We buy a house, maybe a new house for 5 years, nothing goes wrong, and then all of a sudden we have to start doing some things. That's generally the way things happen. We buy the car and it lasts for a while, and then all of a sudden we have this go out or that go out or something else happens and we have to start spending money on it. And that's the reason sometimes we get a different one. My brother used to buy a new car every year, a new pickup. He loved pickups. He still does. But he would buy a new pickup every year, and I'd say, Eldon, why are you buying a new pickup every year? He'd say, well, I was going to have to put new tires on it. Well, any excuse is good. One excuse is good as another when you do that, but the fact is his tires were wearing out. You buy a new vehicle or you buy new tires and they last for a certain length of time. They used to last not as long as they do now, but let's say they last 30 or 40,000 miles and then they get worn out and you have to go buy new tires again, and they've gone up. They're higher than they were the last time, aren't they? And yet those higher tires that ought to be better and last longer, they won't last any longer than the ones you had before, and they'll wear out. Things wear out. But what a Christian is, he has something that doesn't wear out. He has everlasting life. That's one of the great benefits that we as Christians can have in the year 2020. In John 3 and verse 36, Jesus Christ was speaking and said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. We talk about something that's everlasting, it never stops. You know, people for a long time have tried to come up with something that would make electricity last forever, that you wouldn't have to have natural gas or anything else make your electricity last forever. And once in a while, if you may get a message on your email where somebody's trying to get you to buy something, if you'll just put all this together, you'll have electricity for the rest of your life and you'll never have to buy electricity again. That's what some people suggest. Well, I don't know. I've never put it together. I don't know whether it works or not. But I will tell you that what a Christian has, he has everlasting life. It never stops as long as we remain faithful to the Lord. In John 6 and verse 47, again, Jesus is speaking. This time he says, most assuredly, I want you to know this is true, he said. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. What is the reason that we would want to obey the gospel? I mean, when we obey the gospel, it doesn't mean we're going to have maybe able to buy a Cadillac when we couldn't buy one before. It doesn't mean necessarily that we might be able to buy a brand new house when we couldn't afford one before. We might not have any more pennies in our paycheck than we had before. So what's the purpose of obeying the gospel? What's the purpose of believing in Jesus? Well, folks, this is the purpose. The purpose is everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. And most assuredly, I'm telling you, if you believe in me, this is what you'll have. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, John is writing basically the same thing. He said, God has given us eternal life. And then he tells us where it is. And this life is in his Son. So when we use the word everlasting life, it's also eternal. Something that's eternal doesn't have a beginning or an ending. It just lasts. And I guess we could say forever. But it just lasts. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, again, John is writing. He said, these things I've written to you, those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Why are you writing these things, John? I'm writing these things so you'll know that you have eternal life. You have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. As long as you believe in me, Jesus said, you'll have everlasting life. And John says the same thing. We can have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. In John 17, verse 13, Jesus again is speaking and said, this is eternal life. Jesus, having this said through the pen of John, John's writing it. This is eternal life, that you may, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, what Jesus is doing there is he's praying to his Father. This is the Lord's Prayer in John 17. And what he's talking about is what his Father did. The Father sent him, Jesus Christ, that people might know him, the only true God. That is, through Jesus Christ we know about God. Because Christ and God are one. He says that in another place, doesn't he? And so we know about God through Jesus Christ. And you'll also know he sent me, so you'll know me, that I'm the Christ, the Messiah. And he'd sent me so that you may know that you have eternal life. As long as we're faithful to God, we'll have everlasting life, folks. So in 2020, what a Christian have, what a wonderful thing a Christian had. In 2020, he has a wonderful possession. He has eternal life. Why would anybody want to get rid of that? Those of you who are younger, do you remember the first time you got a car? I remember the first one I ever got, and I was so excited. I waxed on that thing, and I washed that thing. It was an old Studebaker, 48 Studebaker. Now, I'm not that old. But that's the only thing my father could afford for us. Eldon and I owned it together. It was a 48 Studebaker. It had a standard shift up there on the steering wheel, 3-speed. Had no flat six, or flat four, really. Flathead four in it. It was worn out when we got it, but I was so proud of that thing. I was proud of that thing. It was exciting to have my first car. I finally had a car and I could drive it. And it drove pretty good till the steering wheel came off one day while we were going down the interstate. And that made it a little bit more difficult. But it was a Studebaker. It was a 48 Studebaker. You young people never heard of a Studebaker, did you? Well, they quit making them even in my generation. They quit making them. But I was proud of that thing. I was proud of that thing because it was special to me. It was a possession to me. But you know what? It didn't last very long. And when the steering wheel came off, it sure didn't last very long. It was not everlasting. But eternal life is everlasting. And something that a Christian can have in 2020, if he holds on to it, is eternal life. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. You think about everlasting life. You'll never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now I realize he's probably talking about spiritual things there, but think about that. When we go to heaven, In the day of judgment, when Jesus Christ reaches his hand out to us and says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we get to heaven, we'll never cry again, we'll never thirst, we'll never be hungry. Isn't that wonderful to think about? And that'll be everlasting. Everlasting. Those who follow me, those who believe in me, Jesus Christ said, those who come to me shall never hunger. They'll never thirst if you believe. He said, he who believes me shall never thirst. Why? Because he has everlasting life. Now I realize when we use the word eternal life, sometimes we think about it's in prospect. But there's a sense in which we have that now, as long as we believe in Jesus Christ. Not physical life. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this comes the judgment. That's what the Hebrew writer said. He's not talking about physical life here. He's talking about the everlasting spiritual life that we have. There is a part of us, folks, that's eternal, and that's the inner man. That's the soul. The flesh is not eternal. The flesh will decay. We get older. Our hair changes color, or we lose some of it. We get older. Our body gets older. It's easier to break something than it was before. But the inner man never breaks. And it's always protected by the Lord, and it's eternal, and we want to make sure that that part of us that's eternal has eternal life with the Lord. We can have everlasting life. In 2020, Christians can have something wonderful, everlasting life. In John 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus again is speaking. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, he said. And I give them eternal life. And listen to this. He said they'll never hunger and they'll never thirst. But this time he says, and they shall never perish. Think about that. If you're one of the sheep that belong to Jesus Christ, you'll never perish. Spiritually, you'll never perish. Long as you stay where that shepherd is. As long as every time you hear his voice, you reply. As long as you stay by the shepherd, you'll never perish, and never shall anyone snatch you away from him. He put it like this, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Nobody can snatch you out of the hand of the Lord. The only thing that can happen is you decide to leave the hand. I've been there too long, I don't like it, I'm going somewhere else. And then you're not by the shepherd, he can't protect you. When that sheep wanders off, and the shepherd's not there, then the sheep will be destroyed by the adversary, and our adversary spiritually is the devil. And he wants to kill every one of you spiritually. He wants to kill me spiritually. He doesn't want us to have everlasting life. What he wants us to have is everlasting damnation. But that's not going to happen to Christians in 2020, because we're not going to allow that to happen, are we? We're going to resist the devil, as James said, and he'll flee from us. Well, in 2020, we have a wonderful promise, too. And that wonderful promise is no condemnation. We're not condemned. Now, the world may do that. They may not like what we do, and they may ridicule us and mock us because we serve the Lord and put him first in our life. But God won't condemn us. In Romans 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul was talking about through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Well, what can be done about that? Even though, he said, even though that's true, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification, he says, of life. We're not condemned. We have life, spiritual life. Everlasting life, we talked about a while ago. Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We just finished some holidays, didn't we? Marty and I had our family, both sides. Both of our children were here and their children. We had a house full of people. As a result of that, we needed to borrow some money to buy groceries. They ate everything we had. And we were glad to do it. But when they all got here on the 30th, of December, when they all got to the house, we hadn't opened a present. We started opening presents. We enjoyed opening all those presents, all the presents that were given to us, all those gifts that we had. But I'll tell you something, as happy as those people were and we were as we opened those gifts, if the Lord wills that we should live till December again, we'll probably want another gift. But the gift of God is everlasting life. The wages of sin and death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a gift that just keeps on, there's an expression, keeps on giving, isn't it? That's a wonderful promise, no condemnation to those who are children of God. Well, James, what are you talking about? When Jesus illustrated his second coming and what's going to happen on the day of judgment, he said that like sheep, they will be separated one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, that is, people will be. And there'll be those on his left hand and those on his right hand, and the condemnation is to those on the left hand, depart from me, cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the everlasting thing we don't want. That's condemnation. But there's no condemnation to those on his right hand when he says, come, ye blessed of my Father. I want to take you home with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go away and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He said in John 14. In Romans 8 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul made it very clear. He said, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why should I obey the gospel in 2020? Because it's a wonderful thing to be in Christ. There's no condemnation. You will not be condemned as long as you're in Jesus Christ. You will not be lost. The devil can't get you as long as you stay in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. That's why I said a while ago, you could start walking by the flesh, and then there's condemnation again. But to those who are in Christ Jesus and do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, there was no condemnation, Paul said. How'd Jesus put it? Be faithful till you die, and I'll give you the crown of life. There's no condemnation. If you live faithful till the very day that you die, you're going to receive the crown of life. There's no condemnation. And the reason is you've been set free from sin. And you become slaves of God, as Paul said in Romans 6:22. And you have your fruit to holiness, and the very end of all of that is eternal life. Or the crown of life. So what's the wonderful promise in 2020 to those who are Christians? No condemnation. I guess I could have put up there eternal salvation, but we've already talked about everlasting life. But what else do we have in 2020 as a Christian? And why should we be grateful that this is the first Sunday of 2020 and the Lord willing, we've got all these coming up and what we're going to have in 2020 if we obey the gospel, become a child of God. What are we going to have? We're going to have life. The wonderful promise is this wonderful passage in 2020 that tells us we go from death to life, from spiritual life to spiritual life. Our spiritual death to spiritual life. In Romans 5 and verse 21, again, Paul's writing to the Romans. He's reminding them of something, folks. He said, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin reigns in death, but life reigns in Jesus Christ. Jesus, in the song we sing sometimes that says, I gave my life for you, what will you give for me? Jesus Christ gave his life for us so that we might have the hope of eternal salvation. So that we might have life in him, spiritual life in him. That's a wonderful promise in 2020 to a Christian. That we can have life in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said on one occasion, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Why is that? Because he said, I live in hope of eternal life.
And I forget the things that are behind, and I stretch forward to the things that are before, unto the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm looking to Jesus. I fix my eyes on Jesus. There's some kind of goal that I'm looking for. And therefore, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, and I've kept the faith, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. That's what Paul said in several passages of Scripture. All those passages I just quoted. And that's because we have passed from death to life when we become a child of God. Now, that doesn't mean we pass from physical death. We're going to die, as I said a while ago, physically, unless the Lord comes before that happens. And we do have physical life right now, so he's not talking about that. Everybody has physical life, whether they accept Jesus Christ or not, until they die physically. So he's not talking about the physical blessings we have, although there are many. I understand there are many. But he's talking about we go from the death of sin. We've been made dead to sin, Romans 6. And we've been raised to walk in newness of life. Isn't that what he's saying in Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 5? Paul's reminding those Romans of why they obeyed the gospel. He said, as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Do you not know that, he said. It's a question he's asked. They should have remembered that. Therefore, we were buried, therefore, with him through baptism and death, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might rise to walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him, or we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, we were made dead to sin. We became alive to righteousness. We were raised to walk in newness of life. That's the promise that we have in 2020. We pass from death to life. In fact, John says it very succinctly, doesn't he? In 1 John 3 and verse 14. When he said, we know that we have passed from death to life. By the way, that word know in the Greek means intimate knowledge. We know that we're servants of Christ. Jesus Christ, for us to live is Christ. We know we have intimate knowledge that as we live for Christ and with Christ, we have passed from death to life. That's what John says. We know that. Sometimes people tell me, oh, James, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, you ought to know. If we walk according to his word or walk according to his commandments, if we live that way, we ought to know that we've passed from death to life. That's what John says. We know. We have intimate knowledge of the fact that we are be saved because we've done what Jesus said. If he told the truth, and we believe he did, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And the only way that doesn't happen, folks, is if we turn away from the Lord. But we're not going to do that in 2020, are we? We're not going to do that. So we have passed from death to life. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, that passage I was talking about a while ago. Early Christians were being persecuted by the Romans. They controlled the world at that time. And they had Caesars, we'd call them kings, I guess, today, but they had Caesars sitting on throne that claimed they were God. And they had statues put up everywhere that people had to bow down to as if they were deities and worship them. And when John comes along, he's writing to one of those congregations in Asia, and he says, do not fear of the things you're about to suffer. And they were suffering because they were Christians. He said, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. Because as a child of God, you cannot deny God. There's only one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul taught that, didn't he? Ephesians 4. And they knew that, and they couldn't worship any other gods. In fact, that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. For I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God. What God says, you've got to worship me, and you can't worship it. You can't worship man when he claims to be God. You worship me. And what John is saying, and actually it's Jesus Christ speaking through John. Because what the apostle said came through the revelation of the Holy Spirit as he got it from Christ, John 16. So Christ is really speaking to these people and says, do not fear the things you're about to suffer. You be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. What promise do we have in 2020 as children of God? We've passed from death to life. And that can be true about you, folks. If you'll give Jesus Christ your life, your physical life today, you can pass from death to life, and it'll be yours everlastingly, if that's a proper word, or eternally, it will be yours. No wonder Paul said, I live in hope of eternal life. That hope was so great that he lived for Christ all the days of his life after he obeyed the gospel. He said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That's the Apostle Paul. That's what he was talking about. We pass from death to life. In 2020, that can be so. That's one of the wonderful things that we have in 2020. If you're already a Christian, you hold on to that. And if you're not, grab hold of that. I know you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You wouldn't be here today. So do something with it if you haven't already. Come to Jesus Christ. His arms are open for you. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Why, I'll give you rest. Do that today. Then by the grace of God, if you live the rest of the days of this year, you can spend your life in knowing of a surety that you have eternal life and everlasting life. And someday when we leave this mortal coil and we're about to do that, we're gasping our last breath. We can do that with a smile on our face because we know we're going home to meet the Lord. Won't hunger anymore, won't thirst anymore, won't cry anymore. Walking on a street of gold, gazing on a beautiful crystal clear wall and listening to the cherubs as they sing and in the presence of God Almighty and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it'll be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But it only happens if you obey the gospel. It only happens if you take advantage of the wonderful things that are present for a Christian in 2020. And it only happens if you bring Christ your broken life. So you can pass, as we said, from death to life. Look at our song number 322. Bring Christ your broken life. So marred by sin, he will create anew and make whole again. Your empty, wasted years he will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great or small. Whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart he will relieve and lift up your head. Bring blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend. His presence shall be ours until the end or unto the end. There's that everlasting life. Without him, life would be how dark, how drear. But with him, morning breaks and heaven is near. Can I help you go to heaven? I'd like to.